This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. When I was graduating from college with a degree in electrical engineering, I went to interview with IBM. And IBM, of course, was a big company, a rich company. They paid good money. Amen. And so I wanted to do well in this interview. And I was told before I went to the interview about the kind of interviews that IBM does. When you come in there and say, I am an engineering graduate, they give you an engineering problem and say, work it out right here, right now. And so a couple of weeks before that interview, because I knew what they were going to do, I got out my textbooks and I went back over everything that I thought they might ask. I got it down. I mean, I went through and not only read, but I worked out problems and everything. I was prepared. I was prepared for that interview. And the wonderful thing about it, and the reason why I tell you this story today, is that all the time leading up to that important interview, I mean, it was really important in my life. I worked for IBM for 13 years. And so all the time leading up to that interview, you know what? I was not anxious. I was not fearful. I was confident. I was looking forward to that interview. And when I got there, hallelujah, walked in the place, sat down, you know, we talked a little bit, and then he gave me the problem he wanted me to work out. I whipped out my pencil, whipped out my pad, looked at it and said, this is simple to me. Did my thing, blew him away. Now, the point of that is this. That interview was a great experience for me because I was ready. I was prepared. Think about it. What if I had gone to that interview, had not prepared myself for the type of interview that they were going to give, and they hit me with a technical problem, and I'm going, oh, man, I remember we talked about that a couple of years ago in class, but, oh, I can't think of how to solve this. Oh, can you think of what an experience that would have been for me? The reason I could have a wonderful experience in what could have been a high-stress situation was because I was prepared. That's the truth I want to deal with today. We talk here at Covenant Community Church about becoming equipped to live the abundant life. Well, you can't live the abundant life unless you are prepared, unless you are ready to deal with the issues you're going to face in life. Because, see, if you're not ready, if you're not prepared, there are two things that are going to happen to you. Number one, you will not have peace. Amen? If you know you are facing important issues in your life for which you are unprepared, you will not have peace. How many of you, like me, can remember those times in school when you went in to take a test that you know you hadn't studied for the way you should have? Come on, let's see some hands here. I am not by myself. Amen. Uh-huh. Now, how did you feel? Anxious? Afraid? What's going to happen? I know I didn't study. Oh, why didn't I study? And then after you take the test and get your grade back, what do you feel? Guilty. If I had just studied a little more, I could have done so much better on this test. See, if you're not prepared for the issues that you're going to face in life, then number one, you're going to feel anxiety and feel fear because you are not prepared to handle them. The second thing is, when you're not prepared, you minimize your chances for success. When I played football, we prepared every week for the opponent that we were going to play. I mean, our coaches went and scouted these teams, and they would bring back the plays that they saw them run, and we would run our offense against their defense and run our defense against their offense. We prepared. And that's why when I went out for high school football, my team had a 56-game non-losing streak. There were a couple of ties in there. But they had not lost in 56 games. Why? Because they were prepared. But that year, we ran up against something we were not prepared for. See, the way it worked on our team was that the coach would send in the plays for every play. And so you would have a guard on every play. They would shuttle the guards in. He would go to the quarterback, give him the play. Well, we were in a hard-fought game. We got down to the goal line, first and goal to go. But there was very little time on the clock, and we didn't have any more timeouts. The coach couldn't send in the plays, and the quarterback was not prepared to call his own plays. And so we ran into the line four times and never made it, and we lost that game. You want to talk about, these big tough guys getting in the locker room crying? We lost. Why? Because we were not prepared for the situation that we had to face. You see, when you do not have preparation, you're going to live in anxiety, you're going to live in fear, and you are going to minimize your chances for success. If you are the kind of person who is living an I'll deal with it when it happens kind of life, you will not live the abundant life. So if you want to be a victorious overcomer in life, you have to be prepared for the things that you face. Now that applies to anything in life. School, your job, your marriage. Let me digress for a moment. One of the things that makes a tremendous difference in marriage is when the couple has gone through premarital counseling before they get married. The success rate of marriages where there was adequate premarital counseling is tremendously higher than for those where there was not. Why? Preparation. Being ready for what you're going to face. See, it hits in every area of life, but today I want to deal with the most important area of life where we need to be ready. If we're going to live a life that's free of anxiety, if we're going to live a life where we can be a victorious overcomer on a day-by-day basis, then we have to deal with this issue to be sure that we are ready for what we're going to face.
9/11.
On that Tuesday morning, thousands of people got up like they got up every other morning. They took their shower, brushed their teeth, put on their good clothes to go to work, or to get on a plane to travel home. And not one of those people got up that morning saying, I'm going to die today. It never crossed their mind. That was not their plan. That was not what they were looking forward to happening on that day. But thousands of people on that day had to face an event that they had not planned for. And the question is, were they ready? Were they ready? I remember a movie called The St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Happened back during Prohibition. Anybody here remember Prohibition? No, you don't have to raise your hand on that one. These gangsters, a bunch of gangsters, were all mowed down on St. Valentine's Day. I don't know, was it 1929, whenever it was. And in this movie, they would show you what happened in the life of each one of those men on the morning before they got killed, and they would say something like this. On the last day of his life, Joe Blow got up at 6 o'clock, went and had a cup of coffee, and then went and did thus and such. And they would say that over and over again for each one of the people, and it struck me. On the last day of his life, but Joe Blow didn't know that it was going to be the last day of his life. He hadn't planned for it. It all came up suddenly. And when it hit, it was too late to do anything about it. Any of you ever speed? Come on. Okay, any of you ever lie? Come on. Any of you ever speed? Let's see. Amen. How many times have you been speeding and you come over a hill and you see a police car by the side of the road with this little radar gone out? Amen? And when you come over that hill and you're going 75 in a 55 mile an hour zone and you see that car there, what do? Beep. Put on the brakes, amen? The policemen have a joke about that. They say that what it proves is everybody comes over that hill, they just prove that their brakes work. Why? Because by the time you put on your brakes, it's too late. He's already got you clocked. I mean, really, if you want to be bold about it, just put it on the accelerator. Say, you already got me. Why? I might as well just go on and have some fun. But the point is, by the time you realize the danger that you're in, it's too late to do anything about it. It's already got you. And that's the way life is. That's the way life is. All of us are going to face a day when our life is going to change, and it may be sudden. One day it's going to happen, and you don't know what the day is going to be. You see, there's a fact that none of us really wants to acknowledge, but it's true. It's a fact that Scripture emphasizes over and over, a fact that we can't get away from. Go over to James chapter 4, starting with verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. What's the fact that we've got to deal with that we don't want to, but it's truth and we can't get away from it? Tomorrow is not promised to us. Tomorrow is not promised to us. On Tuesday, everybody who got up and went to work in New York was expecting to have a tomorrow. But tomorrow is not promised to us. You ever driven through fog? When you're in the midst of a thick fog, that fog can be so thick that it actually looks solid. But let the sun come up. That fog begins to dissipate, it's gone, and all of that solidity that you thought was there is dissipated. God says that's what our lives are like. Our lives here on this earth, they seem so solid. The things we have to deal with every day seem like they have such great reality. They're so important. And yet God says you need to understand that life is like a vapor. It's here for a while and then it vanishes away. Tomorrow is not promised to us. In fact, here's the issue for us all. We need to base the way we live today on the fact that there may be no tomorrow. That's what God is telling us. We need to base the way that we live today on the fact that we may not have a tomorrow on this earth. Go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 12. I'm going to read it to you from the New International Version. Ecclesiastes 9:12 says this: Moreover, no man knows when his hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so men are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. No man knows when his hour will come. If I were to have asked you when you came in today what you're going to be doing tomorrow, I'm sure that you have plans. Many of you expect to go to work tomorrow, and then after work perhaps you expect to go shopping or to go home and have a dinner or watch TV or whatever it is that you had planned. And if I had asked you, you would have said, this is what I'm going to do. But God says, you don't know. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. How do you know that at this time tomorrow, you won't be standing before God to give an account of the life that you have lived? Go over to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. You see, here's the fact that every human being has to deal with. Tomorrow is not promised to us. And there will come a day. Whatever day it is, I can't tell you what that day is. You can't say what that day is. But God knows. There will come a day when there is no more tomorrow in your life. And when that happens, what do we have to deal with? Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, what? The judgment. You see, we're talking about being ready. We're talking about being prepared. Here's the issue. We don't know when we will come up against the test that we have to pass. We don't know when we are going to stand before God and His judgment of the life that we have lived. The bottom line is this. At any moment, any one of us, doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how healthy you are, doesn't matter. At any moment, any one of us could find ourselves standing before God, and at that moment, it's over. Now understand this, that verse that we just read, it says it is appointed unto man to die once, and then the judgment. There are no second chances. There is no opportunity to go back and do it again. Now I know you'll have a great deal of difficulty believing this. Oh, I know it's just going to be tough, but you can believe me when I tell you. I know it's the truth. So believe it. When I was in college, I did not pass every class. Oh, I know. You can hardly believe that. I went through a period of time, you know, in the early part of my college career when I just kind of blanked out. And so I failed some classes. And when you fail classes, guess what? You have to go back, take them again. Amen? Amen? And what they would do is you go back and take the class, and then they would take the average of the grade, and that would be the credit that you got for that class. Now, in that sense, the University of Tennessee was more generous than God is. Because, you see, God does not allow us to go back and retake the class. You have one opportunity to pass the class of life. Only one. And if you don't pass it, guess what? There are no makeup exams. There's no coming back next semester to do it all over again. It's one shot and out. And at that point, we stand before Him, and He says, at that point, it's judgment. Go over to Romans chapter 14, verse 12. Here's the fact that we need to remember. If we're going to be prepared for the most important issue in our lives, if we're going to be ready for whenever that day is, this is the thing that we need to remember and understand so that we can begin to prepare ourselves. Romans 14, 12. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. What kind of account of your life are you prepared to give to God? When God looks over the history of your life, when you stand before Him and there's no opportunity to go back, are you ready to stand before God and give an account that will bring you out as a victorious overcomer, or will you have to hang your head in shame? Because you got to that moment of life and you were not ready. You were not ready. Understand this. When we stand before God, if we are not prepared, everything that we thought we had in life will be lost. Now that's a pretty deep thought, isn't it? That's pretty serious business. But go back to my IBM example. You see, because here's the thing. The end of life will come. We don't know when it will come. We will have to stand before God one day. We don't know what that day is. But guess what? You do not have to look forward to that with anxiety and with fear. Why? Because if you know you're prepared, just like I was prepared when I interviewed with IBM, you can approach that day with anticipation. Instead of being afraid, what's going to happen to me when my life ends? Instead of being afraid, you can be looking forward. I know where I'll be. I'm going to be with Jesus. Amen? I'm going to spend eternity with Him. And guess what? Everything that I've enjoyed in life up till now, what He's got for me is 10,000 times better. I can look forward to it because I know I'm prepared. So here's the deal. What we want to do today is to understand how it is that we can be prepared for that ultimate test in life. Here's the first thing, the most important thing in being prepared. Number one, you need to be sure that you're right with God. Go over to John chapter 5, starting with verse 21. Gospel of John chapter 5, starting with verse 21. You need to be sure that you are right with God. Remember, when that day comes, there's no going back and making it up. No going back and changing anything that you did in life. You better get ready right now. Here's the thing, though, that's so important about this. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. We're talking about being ready. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Understand, when that moment comes that you're going to stand before Jesus, you will not have the opportunity to back up and change anything. You will stand before Him as you are right then. Let's be clear what the stakes are here in this issue of being prepared for that day. Revelation chapter 20, starting with verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And here it is, verse 15. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Those are the stakes. Those are the stakes. You know, we live in an age when you don't hear a whole lot of preaching about hell anymore. But guess what? Hell is real. Amen? Hell is real. And the scripture is telling us that when that day comes, when you suddenly stand before God, stand before your judge, the issue is going to be, is your name already written in the book? The issue is, were you ready? Were you prepared? Let's talk about how to be prepared. Let's talk about what we need to do to make sure that on that day, not only will our name be written in the book, but we will have what the Bible calls a glorious entrance into the kingdom of our God. Go over to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. How can we be sure? How can we be ready? Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Look at verse 13. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what does the scripture tell us? It says there are two things that you have to make sure that you've done. Number one, it says you need to believe in your heart. Do you really believe that Jesus is the Son of God, who came to earth and put on human form, and one day he went to a cross and died for us, shed his blood, and then on the third day was raised by God the Father, and now sits in heaven at the right hand of the Father, interceding in our behalf? Do you believe that? Do you know that that's the truth? If you believe that in your heart, that's step number one. And then it says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. In the Greek, what that means is confess that Jesus is Lord. You see, here's the thing that for other people terrifies me. I grew up in the church. I've been in church all of my life. And yet I can tell you, looking back over all the years that I was in church, I saw hundreds of people who were in church every Sunday and out doing their dirt Monday through Saturday. You see, it says you have to be able to confess that Jesus is what? Lord. And if Jesus is your Lord, guess what? He's a 7-day-a-week Lord. Amen? There are no off days. He does not take a vacation. If he's Lord, then he is Lord of your life. And that's the confession that we need to be able to make. I have invited Jesus to come into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. That means if he's my Lord, then I am committed to obeying him in every area of my life every day. I'm committed to finding out what he wants me to do and doing it. Now, will I be perfect at that? No, I won't. I'm going to mess up. I probably messed up already today. Amen. But guess what? Once I mess up, he already paid the price. The blood that he shed has already covered my mess ups. So the issue is not whether I mess up sometimes. The issue is, have I committed myself to having Jesus Christ be the Lord and the Savior of my life so that I am following him with every decision I make? My whole intent and purpose in life is to obey and honor and glorify him by my life. Is Jesus Christ my Lord? And if I can believe in my heart that he is who the Bible says he is, he was crucified for me and raised the third day, and if I can confess him as Lord Jesus, come into my life, be my Savior, be my Lord, change me, transform me, make me yours, and I want to follow you on a day-by-day basis for the rest of my life. If that's the confession that I can make, what does it say? Romans 10:13 again, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord, what will happen? They shall be saved. You will be ready. You will be prepared. Our name is written in the book. Praise God. Isn't that great? Then what? We can walk through life confident. We can walk through life looking forward to the day and not fearing the day, not wondering what my fate will be on that day. It's already settled. I can know that I'm ready.